Let's talk about pesticides. Pesticides are still in broad use in non-organic agriculture and in other applications to kill damaging insects and unwanted weeds and plants. The federal government regulates pesticides, but in our country, pesticides are still in use that other countries have seen fit to ban. Recent research gives us a side-by-side look at how our banned pesticide list compares with European countries, China, and Brazil. Nathan Donnelly did the research. He's a senior scientist at the Center for Biological Diversity based in Tucson and our guest on The Exchange. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Have to believe you knew some of this before you even began your research.
Well, I had my suspicions. I'd been studying pesticide regulation in the U.S., for some time now. So, I sort of came into this assuming that the EPA pesticide office was, you know, what it was like in the 70s when it began, you know, and Rachel Carson's Silent Spring spurred the U.S. to really revamp its pesticide laws, and the EPA, you know, made some really great decisions banning some of the worst pesticides. But, you know, over the years, things have changed.
So were there some surprises when you took a look at the current status of things that other countries ban that we do not?
Absolutely. I was actually really surprised. So what I set out to do really was to compare the ability of regulatory agencies in the four largest agricultural producing nations, which are the United States, the European Union, Brazil, and China, compare their ability to ban some of the most harmful pesticides used in agriculture, kind of as a way of differentiating those that are progressing from those that are lagging. And, you know, what I found really surprised me, there are 72, 17, and 11 pesticides that are approved for outdoor agricultural use in the United States that are banned or in the process of phase out in Europe, Brazil, and China. So that's 72 pesticides banned in Europe, 17 pesticides banned in Brazil, and 11 in China that are still widely used in the United States. And it's not like these are just some random pesticides. The annual use of these pesticides is really staggering. I mean, we use 320 million pounds each year of pesticides that are banned in the European Union, 26 million pounds each year of pesticides that are banned in Brazil, and 40 million pounds of pesticides that are banned in China. And when you look at, when you compare the United States and the European Union, pesticides banned in the EU account for more than a quarter of all agricultural pesticide use in the United States.
So 320, I'm going to get to that top figure again, 320 million pounds of stuff that we use in the United States that is of substances banned in the EU.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Is there a top of the list example? Is there one pesticide that perhaps surprised you more than any other that we still use that those places don't?
No, I mean, you know, it's pretty common knowledge that, you know, Europe has a much higher safety threshold than the United States. But, you know, some of the second most widely used pesticide in the United States is atrazine. And Europe banned atrazine a number of years ago because you know, it kept contaminating groundwater near where it was used. So, you know, when you're talking about one pesticide, atrazine, used around 70 million pounds in the United States each year, that Europe has said is not safe to use at any level within, you know, the 30 or so countries in the European Union, that's a really big problem.
Nathan, are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out why we're getting some feedback with you, but sounds like it's out of our control. We're talking to Nathan Donnelly, senior scientist at the Center for Biological Diversity, about his recent research by title, The USA Lags Behind Other Agricultural Nations in Banning Harmful Pesticides, published in the June 7th edition of the journal Environmental Health. You can join our conversation on the Jefferson Exchange. You may have some questions about the substances we're talking about and some observations of your own in their use. We'd like to hear from you on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Nathan, the list in China is somewhat shorter. You mentioned 11 pesticides approved for outdoor agricultural applications that we still use that China has already banned. What kinds of things are on that list?
That's a really good question. So let's see, a couple that come to mind. One is called paraquat. Paraquat is one of the most acutely lethal pesticides still in use today. It's so toxic that just a teaspoon is enough to kill a grown adult human. And since probably at least the 90s, we've had at least one death each year in the United States from people accidentally drinking this or being exposed to a high level of this pesticide each year, at least one death each year. So
I remember the name Paraquat. It was a big issue, boy, at least 30 years ago, if not more, about the fact that it was getting sprayed on marijuana to discourage its use.
Right, right. And not only has it been in use for quite some time for multiple reasons, but its use is actually increasing. So in the last 5 years, I believe, its use has increased by roughly 80%. And that's being driven largely by the fact that glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, has been so widely overused that it's no longer effective on certain weeds. And so farmers are looking towards other alternatives because glyphosate is not as effective anymore. And unfortunately, Paraquat is one of those alternatives.
Well, I had a feeling we'd see glyphosate mentioned in this discussion somewhere. Why is it so big a target for groups like the Center for Biological Diversity, your organization?
Glyphosate?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, glyphosate is one of the pesticides that is approved in all the nations that I compared. And glyphosate is, again, the most widely used pesticide in the world. So when you look at actual toxicity of glyphosate, it's, you know, much lower generally than some of the other pesticides on this list that are banned in other countries. But the real issue with glyphosate is that we use so much of it. So around 300 million pounds each year just in the United States of one single pesticide, and that's just in the agricultural sector. So when you start to add on uses on government property, uses by people on their homes, in their home gardens, the number is likely much larger than that. So, you know, the problem with glyphosate is that it is a carcinogen, and we use so much of it that exposure really is no longer is no longer something people can choose to have or not choose to have. It's pretty much mandatory because it is just really everywhere.
So, Nathan, let's talk about the regulatory regime here. Does some of this come down to how countries establish bans on certain substances, as in passing a law through legislative process versus giving discretion through the legislative process to regulators, administrators?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So, you know, in Brazil and China, they typically issue bans to forbid the sale and use of really highly toxic pesticides in the country. And that can be, you know, due to human health concerns. That can be due to international pressure. A lot of the pesticides that have been banned by those countries have been really targeted by international agencies as being, you know, ones that we need to begin phasing out. You know, a lot of them are listed on the Stockholm Convention and the Rotterdam Convention. These are international treaties. And the Europe and United States generally have you know, robust pesticide laws in place to sort of govern pesticide regulation in general. These are very large bills that give the regulating agencies some guidance on how they decide which pesticides to ban and which to not ban. And in the U.S., they do give a lot of deference to the EPA.
All right. So here again, it's Congress will say, you know, it's up to you. You guys figured out. We don't have to pass a law banning a specific substance. We just tell you regulate these substances, and it's up to you which ones to ban.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's a couple reasons why the U.S. is lagging so far behind here. And one is that the pesticide laws in this country are weak, and they give the EPA a lot of deference in what it chooses to do. You know, industry influence has been growing steadily at the pesticide office since the 70s. And while the pesticide office is technically housed in the EPA, it really functions like it's part of the USDA. And it's not to say that the pesticide office is all bad. There have been a few decisions made in recent years that were politically hard for them and ultimately good for the public. But for the most part, it's easier for them to reach just as far as the pesticide industry will allow and not an inch further. And unfortunately, our pesticide laws are weak enough that it often allows them to do that.
So does the picture adjust then, depending upon which party runs the administration?
Well, that's a really good question, and I think a lot of your listeners will be kind of surprised. So, you know, let's take the current administration. With the Trump EPA, things have gotten worse, no doubt. I mean, this administration has done horrible things, like prevent a ban on the neurotoxic pesticide chlorpyrifos, and it's also in the process of completely gutting protections for endangered species from pesticides. That's currently in the works right now. But while things are worse under Trump, things have been bad for the last 30 to 40 years at the pesticide office, regardless of the administration. And what we generally see is that progressive administrations will make a couple of good decisions and conservative administrations will make a couple of really awful decisions. But the vast majority of all decisions are consistent with the heavy influence of the agrochemical industry in the pesticide office. And even public health conscious administrations have to take into account our weak pesticide laws. It's really, really hard to cancel a pesticide once it's been approved in the United States. And even well-intentioned administrations rarely, you know, go to bat in this arena.
Nathan Donnelly is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a senior scientist at the Center for Biological Diversity. We're talking about his research showing the United States lags behind other agricultural nations in banning harmful pesticides. There are 72 substances that the European Union has banned that we continue to use here. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So is there a counterclaim here? I mean, do you hear, for example, from the agriculture industry that we wouldn't be nearly as productive if we banned all these products that these other countries ban?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, and I would counter that, you know, these are the four largest agricultural producing nations in the world. By value, they produce the most value of any other country in the world as far as agricultural output. And when these nations are saying that these pesticides are too harmful to be used within their borders, and yet they're still remaining competitive with the U.S. as far as agricultural output, I would argue that there's really no economic argument whatsoever to be made for the use of these pesticides in our country.
Are there pesticides, though, Nathan, that we ban that the EU, China, Brazil do not?
There are a couple. I believe I found there are two pesticides that we banned that the European Union has banned, three that Brazil has banned, and two that China has banned. Two that we've banned that are still used in Europe, three that we've banned that are still used in Brazil, and two that we've banned that are still used in China. So there are some, but the numbers are much lower than, you know, the opposite.
And which are the ones that we banned that they don't?
That's a good question. Let's see. Off the top of my head, one I can think of is called flubendiamide, which is a fungicide that I forget which company applied for approval in 2016. EPA originally granted the approval on the condition that the pesticide maker actually conduct more research because it wasn't quite sure on aquatic toxicity. And once the pesticide maker did that extra research, the EPA looked at it and said, you know what, we made a mistake and this should never have been approved. And they made a really good decision in that instance, and it was politically hard for them. And ultimately, this was challenged by the pesticide maker, and EPA prevailed in court.
So does your research focus on pure uses of pesticides, or is there some work in here on combinations of chemicals? I know there have been concerns expressed in the past about things that are approved for use but not in joint use.
Yeah, so my study looked at any pesticide that is used in agriculture. So there's many ways to use pesticides. You know, people can use pesticides in their swimming pools or to treat, you know, pressure-treated lumber. All sorts of uses. This just looked at agricultural uses of pesticides, and A lot of pesticide products are sold as combinations. So you'll have a product that contains, you know, upward of 2 to 3 to even 8 pesticides in the same bottle. And when the EPA analyzes risk from those pesticides, they analyze the risk individually, and they do not look at the combination effects. You know, really no regulatory agency does that, not even Europe. So that's really an area where risk assessment in pesticides has really failed the public. And, you know, we need to really do much better in analyzing the harms that could come from pesticide mixtures.
As I looked at the list of items mentioned in your research, I noticed streptomycin in there, which is an antibiotic. How is that used in crops, or am I going to have the usage wrong?
No, no, that's absolutely right. Two of the antibiotics, two of the pesticides on this list are antibiotics that people might recognize from having been prescribed in the past. Streptomycin is one, and oxytetracycline is another. These are used as pesticides because certain bacterial infections will target fruit trees. And so farmers have resorted to using antibiotics to clear up those bacterial infections that can harm the yield of fruits, specifically apples and pears. And it's just been, both of these antibiotics have just been been approved for the first time on citrus crops. And so this is very troubling. You know, obviously using human medicines in as widely used as they are used now in agriculture presents a serious problem. And the more you use these medicines in unconventional ways, the more you're putting them at risk of failing when they're actually needed to work in humans.
All right, a lot to take in here. We have to wrap it up here. The report is called The USA Lags Behind Other Agricultural Nations in Banning Harmful Pesticides. It's published in the June 7th edition of Environmental Health. Nathan Donnelly is the researcher. He's a senior scientist at the Center for Biological Diversity based in Tucson. Nathan, thanks for sharing the findings of your research with us here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. I'd apologize too to the audience for the sound of the whale song in the background. That's a new sort of wrinkle in electronics working between telephones and the radio that we hope to be able to correct.